Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Coming to you live from downtown Detroit, this is Benzinga's Pre-Market Prep.
All right. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. I'm Spencer. There's Dennis. Joel will be on in a second, but we got the banks. We got Walgreens. We got Domino's. Earnings reports. Taiwan Semiconductor. Actual earnings reports to talk about, causing volatility, which you know that we like. You know that we like. We'll talk about yesterday as well. We'll recap that session. We'll talk about Boeing as well. I want to talk about a couple of Chinese stocks if we have time. We'll take questions from the chat. Mark Chaykin will be on today in a few, probably call it like 14 minutes or so. There's Joel. Good morning. Good morning. I'm excited. It's Thursday. It's day one of our cannabis conference, which is going to happen next after this show. And I'm in a great mood. So, Joel, pull up your charts for us, please. And while Joel's doing that, everyone, take 2 seconds out of your life and hit that good old like button for me, please. And thank you. Reminder, in 2 days is the pre-market prep Saturday extravaganza boot camp after party, morning party, brunch. You know, no, I'm changing the name. It's now called Brunch with Joel and Dennis. That's what it's called. Brunch with Joel and Dennis. Premarketprep.com, noon to 12:30. Check it out. Joel, good morning.
Good morning, Spencer. You sound, you got a little pep in your step. You sound a little bit.
Yes, I am feeling good. I'm feeling good. I mean,
I'm going long that Spencer going to the office on Monday.
That would not be the worst bet. That would not be the worst trade to make. I'll give you some inside info on that. That wouldn't be the worst idea.
Okay.
That's my goal. Monday. Back at the office. We'll see. I don't even know if they're going to let me back. I have to should probably check with somebody first. But anyway, how are we doing this
morning? We're doing great. I mean, we had a strong close yesterday, and then boom, 6 o'clock open 54.75. That's one tick below the close. Tick 54 and boom, just took out the pair of highs at 65. Didn't even blink there, making new highs as we speak, 94.75. Couple targets on the upside, pair of highs from Friday and Monday at 07.75. So that's another 14 handles. And then the high from last week at 21.50. So that's what we got up there. A little bit of range trading, moving up towards the upper end of the range, helped by some of these banks that good earnings today. Crude, that's up 89 cents at 81.33. High, the move 82.18. Gold, it's a two-day move right now. Been over 1,800, but now only up 310 at 1,797.80. Silver clears 23, up 12.5 cents at 23.29.5. Bitcoin did take out the 58.350 pair of highs, but back under, still up 235, 57.985. Ethereum waking up, that's up $213 at 37.64. Triple D, was that you? Did you just like start bidding at 6 o'clock last night and just not stop? Was that you bidding up the spider and the spooze, or what was it?
No, wait, Dennis, you're on mute.
Dennis, close the mute track.
Look at that. Too busy trading, not paying attention. I started talking to you, and it's the old mute trick. No, I'm doing the same thing I'm doing all the time. I mean, this market is like clockwork. It's fade everything. If we don't wind the show to yesterday, what are we saying yesterday morning? Oh, it's looking bad. You were all nervous, Joel. Nervous about the market making up, taking out the new lows. And what happens? They turn around. They stay down for a couple hours. They kept leaking. To, you know, you did say, you know, and we kept leaking off the jobs number or the CPI number. But then, you know, what we do? We turn around once we get down about, you know, 2 SPY points, 20 S&P points. We start buying them. And they buy them 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 overnight. And now what do? We come all the way back up to resistance.
40 handles.
You got
a nice move.
Fade. It's not even four. It's 40 handles from the close, but from the lows of yesterday, we're up 70.
Ooh, nice.
Every single. You can just actually. I don't even have to do the show anymore. You can just keep me on repeat.
Quit the show.
Just fading everything. 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 Fade your moves. It's the market that's stopping out all stops. So we talked about this in the pre-market. If you got a stop below, you're probably going to get triggered because when you're going like this, you're getting hit with your stops. So you're buying the dip and selling the rip. And actually, when you're getting stopped out, you probably should be buying the stock. So the undercut and rallies are working. Breakouts in certain stocks are, but most stocks, they're not. We're just going to continue to chop around. I'm going to continue to repeat myself until it doesn't work anymore because once you find a trend, you need to keep taking money from that trend as long as possible, as long as the trend stays intact. What is the trend? The trend is no trend. The trend is just fade everything. We just ride 70 handles. Am I buying it up here? Hell no. Are we going to go up another 20 points? Maybe. But you know what? We're going to be back down next week on some other headline and back down at 435 again. So, you know, whatever you were buying yesterday, I'm probably selling today as a day trade, you know, as the short-term trades, overnight trades. Buying the dips, selling the rips, selling short the rips, buying the dips until further notice.
Can I compliment you on your attire?
I know.
Wait, I was for you, Joel.
I actually wore that the other day, too.
Dennis just changed his shirt in, like, the 2 minutes.
Yeah, because I didn't want to wear the same shirt that I wore for the for yesterday, so I figured I better change my shirt.
You know, Rich Rod, we had Adidas when Rich Rod, and we haven't, that shirt's got to be like 7-8 years old because we haven't had Adidas apparel, I don't think, since like 2014, 2015. So, but anyways, it's a nice shirt. Making new highs
Says. I like that shirt.
I do. I mean, I have plenty of Michigan shirts, but, anyways, let's get to. I mean, the banks are helping out as we discussed in the pre-market show. J.P. Morgan set a low bar with the revenue miss. They had a nice EPS beat, and then What do you want to do? Bank of America.
We will do all of them together because here's the situation: Bank of America, Wells Fargo, Citi, and Morgan Stanley all out this morning with their Q3 EPS and sales, and all eight of those numbers came in above the estimates. Everybody beat on the headline.
Everybody beats. Every bank. And thank you, JP Morgan, for setting the bar so low for every other bank out there, because we know the JP Morgan numbers, even though they were okay, they weren't fantastic, and they hammered the stock on it. What does that do? Immediately sets the bar lower for every bank that's reporting the next day on one of the biggest bank earnings days we've ever had. So you go through them all, like he was saying, as Spencer was saying, Morgan Stanley up 2% in the pre-market. Wells Fargo up 1.2% in the pre-market. Bank of America kicking butt and taking names up 2.85% in the pre-market. Citigroup up 1.69% in the pre-market. USB up as well. Am I chasing these bank earnings? No. I don't chase anything in this environment because it's not the environment to chase in. But what I will say is that, you know, obviously if you're in them, even Bank of America, let's go start with that one, Joel. You're going to come in, buy this thing at 44 and a half right now when it's 30 cents off the highs?
If I did, I'd be out there at 44.82. And I would say, come and get me. No matter what happens, I would leave my offer out there and I would wait. Three highs in a row, 44, 87, 81, 82. the seller that probably was at the point moved down to 90, probably big size at 90. I mean, that you just got to pay attention to that level. That's it. That's it. I'm only going to give one level, and that's potential resistance in Bank America. If it did come down to the top of yesterday's range, I'd have some interest in buying it, but not up here.
What about the other? What about the other ones?
The other ones.
Okay, yeah. Citigroup. Man, we never talk about Citigroup. boom, boom, boom.
I don't talk about Citigroup. This was one that I had in my long. I bought Citigroup in my long-term portfolio in about 2002, and it went up and it went up and it went up, and then in 2007, 2008, it went kaplooey. What did it do? And if you go to the long-term chart, you can say, oh, well, if you just buy and hold, it eventually comes back. Not so fast, because Citigroup did a 1-for-10 reverse split. And actually, the all-time high is around $650. Oh, look at that. Buy and hold doesn't work. Buy and hold did not work in Citigroup. And I've had people say that to me, you know, when I've talked to Citi in the past, like, you just buy these banks, eventually they always come back. Nope. No, not when you dilute yourself. They didn't make it out of the financial crisis. JP Morgan did not have to dilute themselves. That's why that stock came back. Actually, Wells Fargo, I don't believe, diluted themselves much either, because Wells Fargo has actually been a better performer over the last 20 years than Citigroup. But if you look at the Citigroup chart, yes, those highs are real. $550.
I had
bought it at, I think, about 40, which was 400. It had a nice run to 500 or to, you know, 55, which would be 550. And then it went down and down and down. And eventually I wrote it off because it was never coming back. And you know what? It never really did. Never came back.
Look at Bank of America. Look how far that off is, all-time high. Look at that.
What's the all-time high Bank of America? Yeah, it's still significantly off as well. A lot of these banks never came back after the financial crisis because they started diluting themselves. When your company starts diluting itself, seriously, that's where you got problems. AIG, I knew you were going to go AIG. This is the ugliest one of them.
He always goes there.
The ugliest one of them all. Go back just for fun, because everybody believes the stocks just always go up. Oh my goodness, they don't. $1,400.56. You think you're getting your money back at $1,400? Never. You know why? Because if it ever goes back to $1,400, it would be the most valuable company in the world. Because they diluted themselves so much to survive the financial crisis. It was that bad.
What you don't realize is I have a time horizon of 250 years. So if I will eventually get my money back in AIG.
I don't know if you will or not. Let's just for fun see what the market cap really would be of AIG. So $56. These are good exercises.
I think it would be like
$56. So we're going to get out your calculator. Spencer, get out the calculator, right. Put it on the screen. I'm going to give you the numbers to type
math
in.
Class,
these are big numbers.
Math class.
So we're going to math class. $56 times there is 855 million shares
my
outstanding.
My calculator can't handle that.
Okay, we're going to go like this. So we're going to 855 million. 855 million. Times... What was the all-time high? $1,500.
For AIG.
Yeah, I don't know.
Ballpark it. It's fine.
Or Citigroup.
So if it goes back to the all-time high.
Which one are you talking about?
AIG. For AIG to get back to the all-time high, the market cap would be $1.3 trillion.
$1,451.
So it would not be the most valuable company.
I think that's right. It would be a trillion-dollar company. It would have to be. Yep, $1.3 trillion is where it needs to go. Is that right? That can't be right.
It has to be more than that, doesn't it?
It can't be right. $1 trillion. I'm talking about Canadian dollars, not US dollars.
That's nothing.
One, two, three. What's four. That? There's so many zeros here. I can't go that high. Yeah. 500 million, 282. Yeah, 1.3 trillion. That's right. You might as well have the $1 trillion coin AIG. So you think you're getting your money back? Is AIG going to be a $1.3 trillion company? Personally, I don't think so.
Never even talked.
That's called dilution, my friends. When your stock is diluting itself, it's time to hit the exits, unless they're doing it for good reasons. And then those good reasons are for growth.
So bottom line,
now that I've upset all you guys.
Bottom line, almost four benchmarks for today. Bottom line, Joel, almost
four. No, I just want to, just real quick, that was a tangent and a half there. If you're basing it on the high of the move, I mean, City looks like it has some room to run. 71.55. You're not even at your 2-day high, just under 72. The high of the move, way over 73. Wells far low. That's bouncing back. A major resistance over 48. Let's focus on your 2-day high here, 47.53. And if you don't hold yesterday's high, 46.57 will give some back. So, and Morgan Stanley had a good quarter, right? Let's see here. That's got some room.
That's a real all-time high in Morgan Stanley too, I believe.
Yeah.
106. Didn't do the kind of dilution. The big Goldman, Morgan, a lot of them didn't have to dilute because they actually didn't have pure banking businesses either. And have all, you know, the bad housing loans.
What do you got? You got, this is an interesting area just for you Morgan Stanley traders. Trio of highs, so it's called 10075. You haven't hit that yet.
All right. It is 8:15. Let's bring on our guest today.
Give a little song for Chaykin.
I don't have a song.
He's been on long enough. You got to have a song for Chaykin.
I can make him a song. How about that for next time?
Should be something with Chaykin in it.
Bacon with Chaykin.
I'm sure he has not
heard that. In honor of the cannabis conference. That should be the name of this segment.
Okay. All right. Mark Chaykin. Good morning, sir.
When you're hiring, it feels amazing to finally close out a job search. But what if you could get rid of the search and just match? You can with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. One of the things I love about Indeed is that it makes hiring all in one place so easy. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. In the minutes I've been talking to you, 23 hires were made on Indeed, according to Indeed data worldwide. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/prep. Just go to Indeed.com/prep right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/prep. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Good morning. How about the waltz of the Toreadors? Because I'm bullish.
Yeah, look at the ball. But are you chasing the move in the last few days?
I'm shaking the move.
You're shaking
the move. Yeah, there we go.
Now, he's bullish and he's bear. He's doing the right thing. You're buying dips, selling rips, right, Mark?
I'm buying dips.
There you go. Kathy style.
There's so much bearishness or skepticism out there. Even yesterday with JP Morgan reporting, they finished down on the day, but today is going to break that. This is going to be the first quarter in six quarters that Citi and Bank of America will trade higher on the day of the earnings. Now, that's a big deal because people have been really skeptical. Analysts have been cutting their estimates coming into earnings. I'm sure you've all talked about the pattern of four closes in the bottom quarter of the range in a row for NASDAQ and SPY, and that always leads to 30-day positive performance, like 82% of the time. So the market is set up to succeed here, not to fail in earnings season.
And tell me which stocks you're looking at, because there is some stocks set up to fail. So they're not all going to go. So which sectors are you looking at?
Well, I'm looking at capital markets. And today, Morgan Stanley gives you a lot of courage here. Obviously, Goldman Sachs will ride the coattails of that. But
yeah.
I like Blackstone Group. That's a way for the individual investor to buy into private equity, early stage financing, real estate. It's a great play. It's not going to double.
Yeah.
But they've got, you know, new money coming in. I think $47 billion came in the last quarter. And there, it's a fee-based company. They earn 97 basis points on their about 80 to 90% of their assets. So it's a really interesting stock. It's a way for the average investor to have exposure to private equity in a meaningful way. And I like it. But there are sexier plays, but this is a solid play.
What's the other one? KKR is the other big one, right?
Yeah, KKR has come under a little pressure. You've got the two principals resigning. I think there's a little bit of uncertainty about what happens without Kravis and Roberts. But
What do you think about that? I mean, they're kind of just stepping. Was this like a planned succession? Is there some? I mean, it just seemed like it kind of came out.
Unless there's a Leon Black in their closet.
Yeah, yeah, I know. That's what I was thinking.
No, George Roberts is a straight arrow. I know.
I worry about those emails you sent in 2011.
Exactly.
Like John Gruden.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Watch what you say in print and on the air.
Jokes.
So I also continue to like cybersecurity. I mean, every day we read about email fraud, about, you know, companies being compromised because of breaches. And there are some, I still like Fortinet. It came down very viable in the 290 area. We've talked about it a lot. So, and I'm trying to find some small cap names in cybersecurity.
That one hasn't broken out yet. So no. Maybe, you know, that one's maybe a sleepy one that's got a catch up trade. Cause you look at like CyberArk and you think, okay, it's gone. I mean, it had the breakout over 170 and boom, we're 181 this morning. Interesting, you know, and CrowdStrike had pulled back. It gave you about a month here, you know, where we're hanging out at the lows, and then boom, yesterday, CRWD. It's like these favorite stocks stay out of favor for a little while, and then the market shows a little bit of life, and those ones that are in favor are the leaders.
Yep, I agree with you. And Fortinet is rich. I mean, it's 97 times earnings, so it's got to catch up to the current price, but it tends to make new highs a little bit behind the market. So there's a lot to like in this market. And I think there's a key level that I want to point out on the triple Qs. It's the 370 level on the upside.
Let's see here.
And it's not apparent on the chart, but this is where the deal of gamma kicks in. And I don't know this based on my own research. I have a service that does this.
Why don't you explain that, Mark? That's
well, it has to do with the open. Dennis is probably better at this than I am. It has to do with
Dennis,
open interest in the futures and the options, and where the dealers feel they've got to get more aggressive at amping up their hedges. In other words, if they're long because people are selling out of the money puts, for instance, and it goes to a certain level, there are all these gamma theorists around, and they tend to be right. I think the new market structure, normally I didn't pay attention to what the computers were doing and when, but so much
it's all activity, sophisticated hedging.
Yeah, and it's the dealers. Yeah. And there's so much, it's the Citadels of the world and the people who are market makers. And there's an awful lot of options activity and futures activity that the institutions are doing. They're selling out of the money puts, they're buying protection. And we don't see any of this, but there's a couple of services. Nomura Securities has an institutional analyst, Charlie McElligott, who copies this. And I don't qualify to subscribe, but there are people who translate his work. And basically 370 is the level. If you go above that, the dealers have to get aggressive at getting long. And yeah, and those types of environments, you see like a melt-up kind of situation.
How many times has that been relevant? I know you really explained it well. It was during some of the expirations last year. I don't know if it was the March expiration or the June expiration. I know it had a huge impact then. Because everyone was – really flipped. They were all short heads to the short side, and the market ripped to the upside. Are we going to have that kind of reaction again? It seemed like maybe that was just like a one or two off last year.
No, this goes on every month. You had it in November, December of 2018. That's what helped create that waterfall. But we are in an options expiration week, and this year has been different. 2021, typically, Dennis, again, you be my conscience on this. Typically, the market has gone up in the week before options expiration and then sold off afterward. This year has been different, except for September. The market has gone down in options expiration week. We're going to break that mold here.
I mean, the biggest issue is what you often see, and I used to talk about the Monday effect, the Monday after the options expiration, is you see liquidity go less, because what you have is those options come off the board. So all of a sudden, anybody who's, you know, using those options and they've got those options as hedges and they're playing the stocks off those options, you lose that whole after the third Friday, you know, because not all stocks have weeklies out there. You lose a whole bunch of liquidity there. And that's why you often see bigger moves on the Monday that follows you. The direction is sometimes random. But what I say is sometimes, you know, like you'll see a whole, there's a whole bunch of open interest. Everybody's got these calls that expire on the Friday. And then all of a sudden the Monday comes around. And that works for the weeklies as well. And all of a sudden volatility picks up on those individual stocks that had a lot of open interest and, you know, and some strikes that are close to where the current price is. So one thing you usually see is the increase in volatility on the Monday.
Yeah, the other thing is that there's people front running these patterns now. So in September, instead of the buying that you would have seen on Thursday, Friday, you got it on Monday, Tuesday, because everybody's got access to the same information now. You know, Reddit's the great equalizer.
Mark, the 340 number, the 340
370,
level, 370. Sorry, 370 number in the queues. Do you happen to know what that corresponds to on the NASDAQ futures or no? This is a question from the chat.
I don't know. I watch the spiders. Don't watch the. They're usually pretty close. The spiders are a couple of points away in terms of support and resistance from the SPY, from the Qs, from the index.
I just want to get your overall market thoughts here. I mean, yeah, there are pockets of areas that you like that hasn't changed, but it seemed like, at least from your email last night, that you're just pretty bullish. Like, you think earnings season is going to carry us higher.
I do, because analysts were cutting their estimates coming into earnings season, and typically and it's more than just the bar. It means people are leaning the wrong way. Remember Paul Tudor Jones's great comment, you know, I always want to know who's leaning the wrong way in the market. And clearly, if analysts are lowering their estimates, there's a bit of a bearish tone and people are leaning negative. So in addition to overcoming the bar, which I agree with you, it means that people who have been sort of expecting a messy earnings season are now, and today's going to be the case. If we can hold these gains today, there's no story in the world that says earnings season is going to. And remember, what are people focusing on? Inflation, supply chain issues.
Yeah.
Here's the most important story of the day. Port of Los Angeles, Port of Long Beach, California are now going to be operating on a 24/7 basis.
So Walmart and
I thought they already were. I didn't
know. No, Europe they do, but not. No, we got unions, buddy. It's a union town. That's a big deal. They're going to break these supply chain bottlenecks. We're going to have more semiconductors. And we know the market's a discounting mechanism. I mean, on the show and in my head, I'm always thinking, you know, what's the market going to do today, next week? Stock market's looking ahead 6 to 12 months and saying, okay, we have inflation now. Yeah, food inflation isn't going away. But what's it going to look like in 12 months? So all these people are saying you've had the peak of the economy, the peak of earnings momentum. I think they're puffing smoke. They're guessing. And in the stock market, you don't want to guess. You just want to, and that's why the trend is so important here. And we have not reestablished the uptrend, by the way. We've got to get above 4,500 in the S&P.
Mark, sounds like you're campaigning for Powell's job over there in February.
Oh, boy.
Is there any rumor to that?
No.
Transitory. What about something that hasn't left the station yet? You know, things that, you know, you have, I mean, bottom picking is, you know, can be a dangerous sport, but some of this healthcare, I mean, like Bristol Myers, are they going out of business? I mean, I know the chicken rating is probably going to be negative on that, but, you know, is there anything that, you know, you're liking the next rotation? Yeah, yeah. I mean,
yeah. Biotech is actually doing pretty well right now. And okay. There are some. DVAX has a really good chart pattern and has a bullish rating. I'm not recommending that. I'm not recommending that one because I've got too many vaccine plays in my head. I also think at some point Moderna is going to turn around. It had a bullish rating, obviously, with all the, I wouldn't call it negative news, but with the Merck pill.
Merck pill did all these stocks in.
Yeah, but I wouldn't count Moderna out. Everybody was so excited about the RNA technology. That's not going to change. And my view is COVID's going to be with us for a long time. So you got to find ways to play vaccines and so forth. Flu season's coming up. You know, there's a lot more to our health issues than just, you know, a booster shot and how long is it going to last. I also would look at home builders. I'm scrolling here and trolling to see if we have any bullish rated home builders.
They've been hit. The home builders have been hit, and obviously because you get input costs going in, that hits the home builders to a certain extent because people are like, wow, I'm not building a home when, you know, when everything's doubled. I know because I'm building a home, but they have been hit. So, you know, eventually you get to an environment maybe where, you know, the home builders are actually, I mean, you look at Lennar, Allianz, it's 10 points off the highs. I mean, they're still doing well. It's just a matter of looking forward, you know, how, and the market always tries to look forward. Is it going to be less people building homes because the input costs are so high?
Well, I've got a small cap home builder that I recommended in July.
And what was that?
It's called Techniglass, TGLS. It's a Colombian company that makes architectural glass, and it's a play on the South Florida housing and building boom. They're primarily office buildings. They make those big sheets of glass that protect you against hurricanes and other things like that. And it's right at the high. It had an unbelievable quarter. It's thin, so please don't barrel into this one. And they're volatile. These stocks can drop 25 or 30% because the bids evaporate. But it's at a double top here and making a new high. I think, you know, this is a stock that's proven that they can make money in down markets. But South Florida, we know, is booming, and they're just getting into residential. And the nice thing about residential is, sorry about that, guys. Didn't turn my phone
off. Nice ringtone.
Yeah, what is that?
Yeah, I'm not sure. It's probably Horace Silver. It's 50s jazz.
So, Mark, question from the chat. Any oil energy names you like right now?
Oh yeah, I like the coal stocks. CEIX. You know, the problem is they're all making new highs, and you got to be a real believer, but. If you look at what some of the major banks are doing, the guy at J.P. Morgan, who's been a guru for the last 3 years on sectors, really believes that the energy crisis is just beginning because of a lack of supply. So coal, you know, love it or hate it environment-wise, coal is an alternative to ramping up your drilling rigs and getting your fracking programs funded by banks. So coal is in there. You just have to extract it. So CEIX is one that has a great looking chart. Take a look at that chart and see if you're seeing what I'm seeing.
Yeah, nice little pullback to 32 after making that high. Mark, what about big tech? Is it just leave it alone? Just it's, you know, it's had its run. It's just going to muddle along. Because I always look at like, yeah, you can get your, you know, you can get market going, but you know, the big tech, the big components of the index. How about Facebook? Well, are you doing any bottom fishing in Facebook?
I don't bottom fish. Some smart people say, look, this is three companies in one. You're buying Instagram, you're buying WhatsApp, you're buying Facebook. Yeah. If they break it up, it might be worth more than the sum. You know, some of the parts might be worth more. I like Google. It has a neutral plus rating. It just has to get above you know, resistance here to go bullish again. I like Google and NVIDIA in the big cap tech stocks. I think Amazon has troubles. The chart pattern on Amazon.
It's just been a consolidation for so long.
Well, but it, you know, yeah, it has. And, you know, is the Jeff Bezos successor going to pull off a Tim Cook? I somehow doubt it. That's worse than a consolidation, Dennis.
PPI, excluding food and energy, was up 2% versus the estimate of up 0.5%. I mean, food and energy, I mean, you know, really.
Yeah, I mean, gas prices are at a seven-year high. But the market knows this. That's the thing. If you're talking about tapering, if you're talking about inflation, this is not a surprise. What could bite the market, if and when, is something we're not even looking at right now. You know, do we have a shooting war over Taiwan in some form? You know, does the Chinese...
It's always that unexpected
thing. It's the unexpected. Yeah. So I just can't focus on what's right in front of me, except when I'm looking at the market trends.
Fair enough. Mark Chaykin is the founder of Chaykin Analytics, a longtime veteran of every market cycle, really. So, Mark, yep. We appreciate your insight.
Every market cycle, Mark.
Hey, by the way, Joel, you were looking for a nickname for me, and I guess I'm late to the party, but has anybody given you the nickname The Three Amigos?
The Three of Us?
Yeah. So, who's Martin Short?
There's this one guy that sends emails to he comments on almost every show. Spencer, I don't send them to you. He calls us a lot of different things.
They're
not all good.
Not all good. Depends on the day.
But Three Amigos is one of them. He gets really nice mad one. At Spencer. I don't know why he gets so mad at Spencer.
I don't know. Spencer's a voice of reason.
I can take whatever you have to say. I can take it.
I'll start sending them to you.
Boy. We get some all right, Mark. Thanks. I'll talk to you again in a couple weeks.
I've got a spam filter that takes care of that. So
yeah, that's true.
Yeah, that's an area of the market I would look at. Anybody doing email security, and there are a couple of names there. I'll talk about next.
Name? You got a name?
Can't
hold it.
I'll hold it till next time.
You're gonna save it for us.
Yeah,
that's
called a tease. Thanks a lot, Mark.
All right, love you guys. Be good.
All right, you as well. Hey, let's talk about Walgreens here for just a second. And then we got some more stuff I want to get to quickly. We're going to end the show at 9 o'clock today. So let's go to Walgreens because they had earnings. And I this one makes sense in hindsight. The earnings beat, the sales beat, and apparently Walgreens gave out twice as many COVID vaccines as they thought they were going to, which, when you think about all the vaccine mandates, kind of is like a duh, like, why didn't I think of that type of thing? In any case, I know the stock is off its pre-market high, but Joel, what's it doing this morning?
Well, I'll give you two things. Major resistance at 49. I mean, look at all those highs, just under 49. But I'll give you a more important tip on Walgreens. Don't go to the Walgreens at 14 and middle about after the close between 415 and 430. It is just absolutely jammed.
Okay.
Like the line to pick up anything, to pick up a prescription, to buy anything. Incredible lines there. So that in 49.
Apparently, I don't want to go to a lot of these Walgreens in San Francisco either.
That's what someone in the chat, was saying.
They're closing six of them just because of shoplifting. They can't. I don't get it. Why can't you like stop? Like I see this video. I don't understand. I see this video of the one guy just blatantly shoplifting and putting stuff in his bag. It's the one that went viral. Why are they not grabbing him and arresting him? I don't understand.
Maybe the workers just
says go away. I'm like he's taking this stuff, and they're just like kick him out of the store with all
maybe
the stuff.
They just
don't
care.
Get it at all.
I don't know. Maybe the worker don't. Maybe they're understaffed, and they're like,
there was a security officer there too. Why would they not detain that guy and arrest him? I don't understand at all.
I don't know.
I can't understand what's going on in San Francisco with shoplifting. It's really out of hand apparently, and that's sad, obviously. I don't know. They got to like crack down on that. That's a major issue, man.
I don't know.
But anyways, 49. I haven't looked at CVS in a while. Whatever happened to that JP Morgan, Warren Buffett,
It's dead.
They're saying, and I did hear this, that there's no criminal record now or something for shoplifting under $750.
Yo, San Francisco is wild.
Yeah, so that's why everybody just stealing everything. I don't know if that's true. I'm not, but that's what the chat's saying too. There's a lot of people apparently from San Francisco out there, so they're giving us the details here right now. Well, you can't arrest them if they steal under a certain amount.
San Francisco is a strange place.
Change that law. Because if you're stealing anything, you should be arrested, in my opinion. I just my opinion. I don't like shoplifting. And obviously, if you're not going to prosecute shoplifters, shoplifting is going to increase substantially. It's kind of common sense.
Do you have an algorithm for that, Dennis?
I think a positive correlation between not prosecuting shoplifters and shoplifting going up is probably quite high.
Who said the coldest winter was a summer in San Francisco?
Frank Sinatra.
No, the coldest.
I would guess probably same. Who was it?
No, this is not a bad idea.
I bet you. What about? Let's go to the chat. I know we got some mold.
I bet you. I'm not that far off.
Mark Twain.
Mark Twain said that or sang that? I thought he just said things.
I heard sang.
Didn't you hear sang?
No.
Mark Twain also said, my favorite place to shoplift is in Walgreens.
Not anymore. They're closing 6 stores. So that's what you get, shoplifters at Walgreens. You're not going to be able to shoplift anymore there because they're closing the stores down.
Okay. There's not a lot of stuff on the I don't know about the supply. They might be having some supply chain issues. Well, you know, maybe people are stealing everything, but it's weird. Like, you go in there,
anything in stock, it's all free. That's the source of the supply chain issues. The petty theft in San Francisco. All right, let's quit picking on Walgreens. I'm bringing this back. I know, because we're really.
I mean, they get rid of WAG. First of all, why do you get rid of WAG? They bought Boots Alliance, and then they booted it, didn't they? They don't.
I think they changed their symbol. No, they sold Boots.
They did.
Well, then why is it still in the name? I still got Walgreens Boots in there.
No, I don't know.
Walgreens Boots Alliance, WBA. That's what it stands
for. Yeah, and it was WAG. I mean, what a great.
Okay. I know. WAG was awesome. I always say WAG the dog.
I'm moving us on here to Boeing. Report this morning from the Wall Street Journal that Boeing is dealing with another manufacturing problem. This one is on the 787 Dreamliner. I guess these titanium parts are not as strong as they're supposed to be, apparently. And just another in a continuing series of manufacturing hiccups for Boeing, though not involving the 737 MAX. So I guess that's something.
Airlines, airline makers, there's definitely an overall trend in these things, and it's not up. So Boeing's been in consolidation station for a while here. I guess Boeing's kind of just been consolidating here around 200, 250. I don't know. That's how you can start really showing some life here. Maybe this is one you sit on, and maybe eventually it comes back. But, you know, again, if you're, you know, not the believer that business travel's coming back, then it's not good news for Boeing either. So the business travel on the airlines.
I think when are they going to – I'll buy Boeing when they start making smaller airplanes. Because I just think these big jetliners, man, I don't know. I think travel is going to be – you're going to need the smaller planes.
You're going overseas on vacation.
Yeah, overseas on vacation.
Business traveler is not coming back. And that's why I stay away from the airlines.
There's just been easier places for your money. Did you see Delta yesterday? That thing opened up at just sniffed yesterday's low, and then
there's so many bag holders in there. Jesus. I mean, in all these airlines, it's tough for them to go higher. I mean, they've had nice rallies from the blows back when we thought everything was ending, you know, back in April and March of 2020. They've had a nice rally, but where are they going now? I mean, we've had some dilution in a lot of these stocks too, which we already had the dilution talk, and that's never good. I don't think any of these companies diluted themselves to the degree that AIG did. But at the same time, that shows share counts go up. You got to figure out, okay, well, to get back to the highs, where's the market cap got to go? Does that make sense? So a lot of people, where they have flawed analysis, they just look, oh, this stock was $60. So eventually it'll get back to $60. Well, if they've diluted themselves, it's harder for that to happen. I don't have all the airline dilution in front of me, but I can remember a lot of offerings back, and I don't know if it was Delta or who it was, but there was some offerings back a year ago. So all that dilution adds up. I mean, it's the same thing with AMC. There was some dilution here too. So, you know, you add it up, and, you know, AMC is its own animal.
Ooh, what Nobody do you think? You think the ape? Cap. You think the apes are planning an attack soon? Look at that! Look at Probably. That AMC. Yeah. Look at that. Quiet.
It is in consolidation station, so it's there. You got a little double bottom from the last couple of days here. It does its own thing. You can't apply fundamental analysis to that thing right now. Eventually, I believe you will be able to. Right now, you can't. So I just kind of stay away from that. Although I do trade AMC and GME together. We know I like to pair trade those.
How is GME? We haven't talked about that.
Yeah, look at that monthly chart. Look the same.
Wait, Mitch, what's up?
That monthly chart on GME, we've been talking about that for a while. GME's starting to set up.
Yeah, it's got a setup there. The reason I can't get behind it is I just can't grasp the, you know, and obviously as a trade, you shouldn't be looking at fundamentals anyways, but I just can't grasp the concept of GME as a $184 stock with a market cap of grabbing it, you know, and then you compare it around. Yeah, $13 billion. So I don't know.
Yeah.
Seems like a lot of money to play for a video game.
Okay, we have a few minutes left. I want to cover Domino's as well this morning. DPZ, they had earnings. It doesn't seem as bad to me as everyone's making it out to be. So here's the headline numbers for Domino's. Okay, yeah. their earnings per share beat, their sales missed by a little bit there. What everyone is hanging their hat on though is that same store sales in the U.S. declined. They actually fell 1.9%. It was the first time in like 8 years that same-store sales in the U.S. had declined in Domino's on a year-over-year basis. However, if you look international, their same-store sales grew. What, I just had it up here. I think it was it was almost 9%. And international represents two-thirds of their locations, right? Two-thirds of their footprint is outside the U.S. So, you know, I don't know how big a deal one quarterly decline in same store sales in the U.S. is when you compare it to a almost 9% same store sales growth for two-thirds of their stores outside the U.S. But that seems to be what everyone's hanging their head on this morning is the U.S. same store sales decline.
It's a stay-at-home play to a certain extent. I mean, during the pandemic of last year, we ordered Domino's pizza as a family. I feel like twice a month.
Yeah.
So, and we haven't been ordering Domino's at all because we're actually going out. You sit on a patio, you can do some stuff. You know, like you're enjoying yourself a little bit more. So as the reopening trade has come back, and you know, to a certain extent, it failed, but as people are going out and doing more things, they don't need as much Domino's pizza. With that being said, this is one of the best run companies out there. It's like Chipotle that just, you know, has its, you know, passes, trades at a higher valuation than its peers. The simple reason is that they do everything right. So do I believe Domino's pizza is going back to 400 and Katie barred the door, we're going down? I don't think so. I wouldn't be surprised if the dip gets bought.
You're taking out of some important support at 470, so now that's going to be your resistance. So until it get back above 470, path of least resistance is lower. You are taking out your low from July, which was 461. This is tough. I'll just give you the pre-market low as a potential area, but I'm not going to drill back on the dailies. But I do have an idea. Remember how when I was in Ann Arbor, when, you know, if they didn't deliver it within 30 minutes.
Yeah, yes, yes. And you used to cheat. We used to park.
We lived on a one-way street, Greenwood.
Yes.
And we used to park our car, you know, so the guy couldn't get through. Well, now, if they don't bring your food out to you in 2 minutes, it's free. Have you seen those commercials?
No.
Have you seen those commercials?
Go into the store and order?
If you like go to the store and then sit in your car?
No, like if you like do a carryout or something, you know, you call in and you go pick it up. But you could just stick something in the door so they couldn't open the door for 2 minutes.
Joel, you're teaching bad things on this show. Evil things, Joel. Change the subject quickly, Spencer, before we get Joel prosecuted here for doing mean things.
Yeah. Do you remember when Domino's went on that PR campaign where the roads in Michigan are so bad, and Domino's is a Michigan-based company, that they went on this campaign where they're like, we're gonna pay the roads in Michigan because they're messing up our deliveries, they're messing up the pizzas on the car.
It's an Ann Arbor, Michigan company. Yeah. Domino's Farms out there.
Company does everything right. Love the company. I'd actually be a buyer of the dip. I'm not knowing if I'm coming on the first day, but maybe. Okay. I have no position in it. I don't really intend to put a position in a Domino's Pizza, but I think the dip probably gets bought.
Okay. Couple more stocks on my list here. Your biggest losers of the morning so far are your Chinese brokerage names. So Tiger, T-I-G-R, which is up fintech, and Futu, which is F-U-T-U. Why are those your biggest losers? Because there was a update on some Chinese government website that basically was like, hey, these Chinese, these brokerage companies, which basically allow Chinese nationals to invest in like U.S. companies, U.S. stocks, we think you're probably in violation of some of our new regulations. So
more Chinese government torching their companies. Yep. I mean, this is just makes me so not want to invest in China. And every time we come in once a week, we're coming in, there's a new sector getting hit because of regulation. I mean, I don't know what to say anymore. Like I said, I own that piece of Alibaba, but and I've got an ETF. I've got some emerging markets ETFs, but those are full of Japan, Singapore. And they're becoming more and more full of Japan, probably, and the other emerging market. Or I don't know if emerging markets, but Asian. Sorry, I said emerging, but the Asian markets there. I think you've just got this nonstop, you know, sell any bounce in any Chinese stocks because the money managers are nervous. We just don't know what the next, you know, thing they're going to do. So yep. I just can't get interested in investing in China. Not with all this regulation.
Joel's looking at the Japan ETF.
Yeah, look at that pullback, Dennis.
And you know what? That coincides nicely with the rally in the FXI over the course of the last week. So you can see money. Okay, well, we're going to start pulling it back. Look at FXI. Look, there's a negative correlation between Japan and China. That's been happening for a little bit here. Go further out in the charts, you know, and that's our job is to identify correlations and how to profit from them. But I mean, I don't think it's coincidental that Japan and China has a negative correlation right now because there is investors that are like, okay, well, you know, here's China's stock starting to show some life. Let's move some of this money back out. If you're staying within Asia, then I think you're, you know, as you're moving money out of China, you got to stay within Asia. You're going to go to Singapore, you're going to go to Japan. And if you start to move money back into China, then you go the other way. But I think this balance in Chinese stocks is to be sold. So I'd actually buy the dip on the Japanese stocks. I've got a couple Japanese funds. I think I would buy it as well.
Wow.
Yeah.
You're looking at EWJ. I actually believe I own the Canadian equivalent of EWJ. I might even own EWJ direct because, you know, Canadians buy the Canadian Japanese funds. But I actually like that pullback. It's a nice pullback, 10%.
Yeah,
Over the course of the last month, I'd be a buyer of the dip on EWJ.
I got a request. I haven't been giving the dad jokes of the day lately.
No, we keep forgetting.
Yes, I'll give you Wednesday. Dads love to tell you how important it is to learn to drive a stick shift.
Do they even make stick shifts anymore for them?
Yeah. I got a good question.
They're
going to
be getting rid of that probably.
Who can drive a stick here?
It's been on my to-do list to learn.
It's fun. It's fun.
Hell yeah.
I suck at it. My wife, her first car, we had a stick shift, and then I'd have to go drive that thing, and I was like, I'm terrible. Because I had an automatic as my first car. So
I think you've never driven a car until you've done a burnout.
Okay. Man, and then, take a video of you doing a burnout and then bring it on to the show.
And then for today,
I got some in my older days when I had a Mustang.
We want to see the Mitch burnout.
Dads love to complain that people are on their phones too much these days. I like to complain about that too.
So I am one of those dads. It's like people go on a date. You see these young people going on a date.
All right.
And they're on dating apps.
Well, they're on dating apps. And then they go out on the physical date and you look and they're both on their cell phones because they got to update their status on what they're physically doing.
Okay.
You
know? So I'm bringing us updating. Back to the market.
Talk to each other. That's how the date's supposed to work.
Let's do some ticker time here.
I agree with that statement. I agree with that, Dad. That's not even a joke. That's reality.
Do some ticker time here. I was writing a couple of them down. Let's take a look at Tattooed Chef, TTCF.
Oh, long time.
I know.
Look First at the consolidation station here, Mr. Israel. Yeah. Look at the eye on this guy. Question is, has it been down here too low? But support until it's broken. And we talked about that huge level in Hood. I've not looked at this chart. There's a huge level in the Tattooed Chef. So you got your setup here. 17.79, the low of the move. Do you get an undercut and rally? Maybe you do. Maybe you got to give yourself to 17. To give yourself some wiggle room if you're doing it. I don't follow the fundamentals of this company whatsoever. I'll just say you have a setup here. The one issue I would have is that it's maybe been down here for too long, and usually they don't give you a chance to buy the bottom this many times. But with everything starting to move higher, you're at support, and support is support until it's broken. So if you're taking the shot, stop yourself out and under, you know, well, I'd stop out under 17, maybe 17.50.
Yeah, I'll let you do that. That's all you
are. You're not doing that one.
Yeah.
Okay. Fair enough.
No tattoos for Joel.
a few people have been, every day we get asked about SoFi. It's
oh my gosh, it's making a move.
We're basically almost back in my cost basis now. I'm like less than a dollar away.
They always come back unless you're an AIG.
Ooh, yeah. What's the news on it today?
Kramer pump.
It was on Mad Money. He gave six fintechs, and then he said the small one or the one that he was really he pumped it pretty hard. No, it wasn't even trading up. And then what's that, Spencer?
That only works when it's already in an uptrend.
He got on it, and I watched it go from 19 to 1950 during his segment. So he had six fintech stocks that he thought, the banks of the future. And SoFi was one of them. He went Square, PayPal. They both ripped on it. And then he had Upstart in there. He had a firm in there. Who was the other one? And then he finished with SoFi. And SoFi ripped from 19 to 1950 on his segment. He can move stocks.
It was pesky at 19. That was the level I gave yesterday. And now it obliterated it so far. So now if you want to buy it, that would have been one to fun to trade during the day. If it opens up at 19, 1902. Well, yeah, I got to 1931 yesterday. So I don't know. Pre-market high, 1980. And I got nothing in here. Nothing here for you on the monthlies. Got to take
out
that
pre-market
high.
$20, big
20 bucks, yeah.
Number. Probably some optionality there. Probably, you're coming into that. So I would think 20 is me.
Yeah, I don't.
I'm not coming in here now. I was in it. I sold it. I literally sold this thing like 2 weeks ago. It had the big run. I bought it at the 14. See the hugging. I bought it in the mid 14s because I had that level to lean on. It ran to 18, then it had the little pullback. I actually just think I sold this like 5 days ago. So I sold it way wrong because the last 3 days just blasted off. So disappointed in myself. I didn't hold this one better. But that's me. I already sell too soon.
What about Upwork? I haven't looked at Upwork for a while. Is it still breaking out the new highs? Or?
Well, it pulled back a long ways, and then you got this ridiculous run for the last 5 days. So if you're buying it now, holy mackerel, chasing. This stock a week ago was $45. Now it's 57. I'm not buying something that just ran 25% in 6 days on no news.
Not the candle you want to see yesterday, right? And
these are not the candles you're looking for.
Yeah, no. Yeah. If it holds 56.16, that was the low. Boom. But after that, looks like you got a little drop off 54.66. So that's what you're looking at. That just made that high. Now that 59.46, that just looks so far away now, So I can't give you a good level on the upside. High close of the move was yesterday at 56.60.
Well, what about Garmin here?
Stock that just always goes up. What's it doing? Yeah, I haven't looked at it. It's not been going up lately. Garmin, the monster stock that this has been, and I mean monster, 2016, $40. You're looking at a stock that's went up 400% in better than 5 years. The stock has been an absolute monster. It's a pullback. You got to set up low of the move, 152.50. You're not far off the low of the move. You could take a shot. The problem is you do have some overhead supply from all the bag holders from the last month and a half, so it's not easy sledding. It gets easier above 160. Until then, it's like guilty until proven innocent. Did I do a good job, Joel?
Yeah, excellent on that one. Yeah, a little early to look for a 50% bounce in this one, but good support. Support is support until it's taken out. 153.29, 153.33, too low, same area. Not bad.
All right, here's one we haven't talked about for a while. Enphase, ENPH, Enphase Energy. Who brought this up? Katrina,
one of the best
chat.
Breeds. Who did the short report on Enphase?
I think it was Spruce Point, but don't quote me exactly.
That was a bad short report.
That was
that took it to 40, right, or something
I think
like
so.
That.
It's like 170 now. So hopefully you weren't following that short report. I'm not sure who it was. We were guessing Spruce Point. It might not have been, but I'll tell you, this one has just been one of the best solar stocks. So if you look at the best,
it was not. It was not Spruce Point. I'm sorry. I don't know, but it wasn't Spruce
Point. Sorry, Spruce Point. We said that the other day and it wasn't Spruce Point. We keep picking on Spruce Point. Sorry, Spruce Point. SEDG and ENPH have been best of breed in the solar sector for a long time. I don't know if that changes anytime soon. I still think I want to be an investor in solar stocks. The problem is they just ran TAN.
It was Prescience. I can't even say that word. Prescience Point.
We've missed it. We missed the run here. We got to wait for a pullback now, in my opinion. TAN has run in 3 days from 79 to 89. though. That is just a crazy move. I'm still long Sun Power. It's one of the only solar stocks I've got left. I wish I had still had it all, but I sold the trade portion of it. First Solar, I've been in and out of a few times. I like all these stocks on pullbacks.
If you're looking for resistance, you're trading up on a little under 17,000 shares. Two highs to contend with, 177.69. That was your September 3rd high. That's not far away. And then got some room up to 180.31. That was your high on September 2nd.
Is Hood ever going to get off the $40 level, Joel?
No.
It's going to be, it's a magnet to it. It can't get away from it. Maybe Monday releases it. Maybe there's some optionality there. I didn't look at it. I'm just assuming there is at the 40. Wow. I just got to say this $40 has just been a magnet. It can't seem to get away from it, but support is support until it's broken. That's my thoughts on Hood. Same as yesterday, same as the day before, same as last week. 40 is huge.
I mean, Mitch was here for a sec because I know Mitch likes solar. Mitch,
one of the things is we've been talking about relationships, right? Dennis and Joel, we're going to talk relationships this weekend. And one of the things that I did is I actually used stock odds to confirm my probability look in solar. If you guys don't know what stock odds, that's definitely check it out. We're going to be there.
StockOdds.net.
Definitely check it out. But what I liked is that it started pointing up to the probability of FSLR, SPWR. I really like the run chart. If you look at run, that looks awesome right off the bottom. Multiple
big
times.
Moves already, though. I feel like you should have been in them 3 days ago.
That's the hard part. Solar's been running with a tough market, right? And so everyone's looking for pockets of strengths. I think this is one of those. Of course, you got to look for pullbacks now. You know, 4 day run, you don't want to be jumping in right here. But I definitely say pay attention to solar going into November and December.
All right. The last chart, this is one for me. Let's pull up the GLD for a minute. I don't want to miss this. So
you were talking about it a couple days ago.
So yeah, I know. So I missed that yesterday, clearly. So now I wait for the pullback, right?
We set up the trade in silver. Go rewind the tape. It was 2090. And I said, if you wanted to do it, I didn't do it. I wish I would have. But I said, stop yourself at 2065. You're risking a quarter. It's up almost a buck from there now, SLV. Gold's going to move similarly. I mean, the setup was there. I think you wait for a little pullback because I don't like to chase anything. It's not a huge move, but I just don't like to chase anything. And gold just doesn't seem to move $30 and go straight up. Maybe it goes another, just keeps going straight up. It is the textbook inflation trade. We talked about this too. And then we're saying, is there a possible catch-up trade here? Maybe, but we're also saying it hasn't been performing. Why? I don't know why. And that's why I laid off of it. But right now, the inflation trade is getting more and more talk. As people talk about inflation, you start to see, obviously, movement up here in gold and silver. It is the inflation trade from the textbook. Whether or not it's going to perform, I'm still skeptical.
Okay, all right, we got to wrap it up. It's 9 o'clock. The Benzinga Canvas Kappa Conference is going live right now. Dennis, congratulations to you and your first place Edmonton Oilers. You're in first.
Well, they
place.
Blew it last night, but then thank goodness they won. Mike Smith, who
that's all that matters.
Bailed us out in overtime, and then we won.
Joel, I'll catch you later.
Yeah, at the close today.
Correct. No, at the close today.
We'll do it. Mitch, are you around there? You want to do it at the close with me on premarketprep.com? You out there?
Send me out.
Okay. All right. I'm gonna hop over. We missed a lot of symbols here.
Spencer's like, what just happened?
You didn't invite me. That's okay.
I'm sorry, Spencer.
I don't want to do it anyway. That's fine. Everyone hit that like button.
All right,
please.
Let's go cover some tickers.
All right, hit that like button, please, and thank you. Have a good rest of your day. The Benzinga Cannabis Capital Conference is going live right now in person. It's so exciting. Stay tuned for that.
Did you know nearly all stock price changes of 10% or more result from a single news headline? That's right. News headlines have a unique ability to drive stock prices up or down. These news catalysts create trading opportunities every day. All you need is a little help to reach out and take them. And if you're looking to grow your portfolio, it doesn't matter if your investment budget is small or big. An easy-to-read stream of news headlines will increase your opportunities to profit from price changes in the stock market, consolidate a knowledge-based investment strategy, and grow your portfolio. All you need is Benzinga Pro and its powerful news alerts, price tracking, and portfolio monitoring to make a positive change in your trading performance. We've already helped thousands of retail traders across the world, and they could not be happier. Increase your market knowledge, boost your exposure to big movers, and make informed trades before major price changes. The opportunities are all around you. Subscribe now, and we'll skyrocket your portfolio today.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.